ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text number 3. Aho vichitram bhagavat visheshtitam ganantam janaha ayam hi mishan napashyati diyayan asat yadhi vikarma sevitam nritya putram pitram jijivashati. Aho vichitram bhagavan vicheshtitam ganantham jino yam hi mishan pashyati diyayan sadyari vikarma sevitum niritya putram pitaram jijivishyati. Aho vichitram bhagavad visheshtitam ganantam janoyam hi mishan pashyati diyayana sadyari vikarma sevitam niritya putram pitaram jijivishyati. Aho vichitram bhagavan visheshtitam ganantam janoyam hi mishan pashyati diyayana sadyari vikarma sevitam niritya putram pitaram jijivishyati. Please chant. Ladies, please. Aho, alas. Vichitram, wonderful. Bhagavad Vishishtitam, the pastimes of the Lord. Ganantam, death. Janaha, a person. Ayam, this. He, certainly. Mishan, although seeing. Napashyati, does not see. Dhyayan, thinking about. Asat, material happiness. Yadi, because. The karma, forbidden activities. Sevitam, to enjoy. Naritya, burning. Putram, sons. Pitram, the father. Jijivashati, desires a long life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Alas, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. He knows that death will surely come, yet he is nevertheless callous and neglectful. If his father dies, he wants to enjoy his father's property. And if his son dies, he wants to enjoy his son's possessions as well. In either case, he heedlessly tries to enjoy material happiness with the acquired money. Purport. Material happiness means to have good facilities for eating, sleeping, sexual intercourse, and defense. Within this world, the materialistic person lives only for these four principles of sense gratification, not caring for the impending danger of death. After his father's death, a son tries to inherit his money and use it for sense gratification. Similarly, one whose son dies tries to enjoy the possessions of his son. Sometimes the father of a dead son even enjoys his son's widow. Materialistic persons behave in this way. Thus, Shukdeva Goswami says, how wonderful are these pastimes of material happiness transacted by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sorry. In other words, materialistic persons want to commit all kinds of sinful activities, but without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one can do anything. Why does the Supreme Personality of Godhead permit sinful activities? The Supreme Lord does not want any living being to act sinfully, and he begs him through his good conscience to refrain from sin. But when someone insists upon acting sinfully, the Supreme Lord gives him the sanction to act at his own risk. Mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. No one can do anything without the sanction of the Lord. But he is so kind that when the conditioned soul persists in doing something, the Lord permits the individual soul to act at his own risk. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sons always outlive their fathers in other planetary systems and other lands in this universe, especially in Svargaloka. However, on this planet, a son often dies before his father, and the materialistic father is pleased to enjoy the possessions of his son. Neither the father nor the son can see the reality that both of them are awaiting death. When death comes, however, all their plans for material enjoyment are finished. Aho vichitram bhagavan visheshtitam ganantham jano yam hi mishan pashati dhyayana sadyari vikarma sevitam nritya putram pitaram jijivashati. Alas, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. He knows that death will surely come, yet he is nevertheless callous and neglectful. If his father dies, he wants to enjoy his father's property. And if his son dies, he wants to enjoy his son's possessions as well. In either case, he heedlessly tries to enjoy material happiness with the acquired money. So it is a striking statement, the first sentence, in which it is stated that it is wonderful that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. All around, there is death. You walk across the street, look on the sidewalk, and you will see dead leaves all over the place. There is death everywhere. Look at the grass and you see that it's yellowing and falls out. You look at the clouds. They are there and then they are gone. Things are here and then things are gone. This is the nature of life. Here today, gone tomorrow. And yet, persons in the material world are thinking and acting as if their little material bodies, which are made of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the same things that we see, as I just mentioned, on the ground or in the sky, dying. The same thing, still they're thinking that somehow I'm going to go on another day, another month, another year, another 50 years, maybe 100 years. But they are living in the consciousness of one who thinks he's going to go on forever. And in one sense, that's true. He will go on forever, but not in that body. That body will die according to its karma. It may die at 50 or 60 or 70 or 80, but die it will and die it must. It cannot avoid death. But it is living in such a way as to forget the idea of death. Forget that the days are numbered. Forget that there is danger at every step. Forget that death is all around. Not me. We hear that somebody dies. Oh, I'm sorry. It's too bad. That's a shame. Not going to happen to me. We forget about it. Because I'm special. I'm wonderful. I'm individual. I'm powerful. I'm amazing. I'm great. Death will not touch me until it's time for me to go. And that's a long, 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 long way. This is the mentality that people function in. That death is far from me. And yet, on reflection, everyone knows that death must come to our bodies. It must go. But we don't want to reflect. We don't want to think about this. Why is that? Well, the soul, as we know, is eternal. The soul is immortal. And we are the soul. Unfortunately, we have become identified with our material body and material minds. So the soul has identified itself with the body. And although it is eternal, it somehow, because of this confusion of who he really is, he begins to try to eternalize the body. That's why he thinks he's going to go on forever. Because in one sense, he is going to go on forever, but not in this body. But because there's an imposition there of the soul, the soul mistaking itself for the body and acting through the body, it thinks the body will be eternal. And so, therefore, as I said, on reflection, the soul knows that, or the mind knows that, yes, death does come. But we don't act in that way. People are making plans for 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, and acting as if, yes, there will be many, many years ahead of me. Goes to the doctor. Doctor tells him he has a heart condition. Be careful. not going to affect me. As long as I take my medicine. Takes the medication, goes on doing what he has to, achieves some particular materialistic goals, and then just as he's achieved it, and just as he begins to feel important and great and wonderful, he drops dead, has a heart attack. All that work for what? For a big zero. That's what it is. People don't know what to work for. People don't know what the purpose of life is. Why is that? People don't know the purpose of life because they have come into this world from another world, which they have totally forgotten. And that is known as the eternal world. In the eternal world, just as in this world, we have independence. And we can decide whether we want to live independently of the Supreme Lord or we want to live dependently upon the Supreme Lord. If we choose no longer to serve Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, to glorify Krishna, and instead desire to be served as a Krishna, we no longer are qualified or fit to live in that world. Because that is the world of devotional service. It is the world of veneration of the Lord, glorification of the Lord, pastimes with the Lord. It is not a world in which we get to be at the center. Krishna does. And every devotee who loves that world loves glorifying the Lord and serving the Lord. But as I said, here everyone has independence. And everyone, even in the spiritual world, has curiosity. What does it taste like? What does it feel like? What does it feel like to be a Lord? What is the taste? Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is Krishna himself, he himself had the curiosity. What is Srimati Radharani tasting when she loves me? What is her bliss like? What is her love like? So he came and manifested as Krishna to find out these three points. Similarly, the living entity sees Krishna always being glorified. What does it taste like? What does it feel like? What is this? So we are sent to this material world by Krishna as a result of our desire. Prabhupada makes this point again and again and again. Krishna never wants us to leave the spiritual world, but we do it because, as it said, we are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme independent, and we are little tiny specks of independence. So that independence can choose to stay or to go. And since we choose to go and try to be a Krishna and taste lordship, taste what it's like to be a dominator, to be a controller, to be a proprietor, to be a friend of all, and to be a supreme enjoyer, as long as a person has that desire, because that's what Krishna is. One who knows that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend of all, attains peace from the pangs of material existence. But most people don't know that, and therefore they're in a state of anxiety, a state of uncertainty, a state of doubt, a state of a state of insecurity. So this is the reason we come into this world, and we come, each and every one of us, to make our mark, or translated, to be a little Lord. And ideally, to be a bigger and bigger and bigger Lord each day. One may want to be a Lord in the sports arena, sports field. Another way may want to be an arena in the legal or lawyer field, becomes a Supreme Court justice. Another person may want to make it in the acting field, becomes a big actor or actress and gains an Academy Award. Another person may want to be a great teacher or an accountant. And so as a person advances in his profession and begins to gain awards, gains trophies, gains medals, gains certificates, he thinks more and more, yes, I'm becoming a Lord. Here's my certificate. Here's my trophy. Here's my medal. Just see my opulence. I'm great. I'm wonderful. I'm supreme. Nobody has what I have. I'm the only one here who has this. And then somebody comes along 2 years, 3 years later and eclipses you. Then you feel you're in anxiety again because your state of lordship has become demoted, has become lowered. You were Lord. Nobody could touch you. You had all kinds of awards. Now somebody else is getting the award. And therefore you try harder, but you've gotten older. And you don't have that old spunk, that old energy. And you're trying harder and harder. But as hard as you try, you're still not up to the old stuff. And so what happens is that you then sit in frustration that you're not a Lord anymore. And eventually you may get ill. Your body may deteriorate. You may have an accident. And not only are you not a Lord now, but you can hardly even keep up with the general crowd. And so in that condition, a person is very upset, very disturbed, very shaken, very depressed, very melancholy, because he doesn't taste, he's not feeling the very lordship for which he has come into this world to gain. Therefore, his life is like a failure. His life is like a uselessness. It has no value, because I'm not what I came here for. I came from that spiritual world to be somebody, to be God. And now I'm just everything but God. I'm small. I'm impotent. I'm uncertain. I'm doubtful. And I'm shaken. And I'm very, very scared. This is the lamentable, pitiful condition of most human beings. And when death is nearing, that is even more frightening. Because whatever one has acquired, one may have acquired a house, or two houses, or four houses, or two cars, or three cars, or one boat, or an aeroplane, or a big business. You've got all this accumulation, all this acquisition, and this is what gives your life a sense not only of purpose, but of achievement, of lordship. And now, as you slowly near death, you're being yanked away from all that which gave value and purpose and meaning to your life. What do we have left? We have only zero. We have nothing. So we've been working for nothing, and that's very saddening. Yes, maybe you have some relatives around you, and they're cheering you up. Oh, you did so many wonderful things. Don't fret. Don't brood. Don't dwell on this. Better things are coming. You'll get better. And you lie there. I'll get better. I'll get better. I'll get better. Finished. I'll get deader. So he dies. And he's separated. And it's a very... When one dies, that's not the end of it. It's the end of the body. But the mind, the subtle body, leaves with the soul. And the subtle body is very, 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 very sad. Because everything that he had that he could hold on to, that he could embrace, that he could show to others is now gone. I don't have anything. It's all gone. I've been working for 60, 70 years for nothing. All the praises, all the glorifications, all the applause, all the veneration. What was it all? What's the value of it all? Since I'm now bereft of it. And I have to come back again to do it all over again to get that little drip, that little droplet of applause that I live for. That little praise that I got from my wife or my kids or my fans. I've got to work all over again to get it, only to get another big zero, another big nothing. This is the lamentable condition. And this is what material life is all about. It's a constant acquiring, constant accumulating, a constant building, a constant pushing up, with the ultimate result that you're pushed down, 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 underground or in the crematorium. But you're going in that direction. You can't help it. So this is what Prabhupada is mentioning here as to what material life is about. As it says in this first, how wonderful it is that the foolish materialist does not heed the great danger of impending death. He never asks, why am I here? Why do I have to lose everything that I've achieved? What is the purpose of life? Does it have a higher purpose? Is there a God? And if there is a God, why is he letting all this tragedy which is going on all around us, why is he allowing this to take place? What kind of a God is this? Recently, I have a cousin who has terminal cancer. And she's just a few years younger than I. And she told me quite frankly, when we started letter writing about a month and a half ago, that she once did believe in God, but she doesn't believe in God anymore. And she says, God has he has forsaken me. I have this cancer. I've been a good person most of my life. And here it is. Now he's forsaken me and I'm going to die. Fortunately, she's beginning to appreciate that although she has terminal cancer, she walks 5 miles every day and she looks very well. But she does have it, and she's slated to die in a few months. So I started preaching to her. I sent her The Science of Self-Realization. I sent her a copy of my own book, The Supreme Mystic. I sent her Second Chance, the recording of it, and a few other things. But she got to reading these things, and she asked various questions about them, and I answered them, just the way I pretty much write in my books. Or the way I'm talking now. And as I continued writing letter, as soon as she would write me a letter, I immediately answered it. Anyway, the wind-up of it all is that she says she said to me that I cannot thank you enough for all your letters. She says, I now realize there is a higher philosophy in life. There is something higher to live for. And I do have not a lot of faith, but I have some faith. And every time you write me a letter, you seem to fan it a little bit more. And I have some direction, some focus. And I'm not as scared as death as I was before. So this is what a devotee lives for, to hear something like that. Because she was an abject atheist. Very pretty, very beautiful, even now. But she realized that, and very wealthy too, that all that could not do, or she could not buy back her health with her wealth. And her praises were meaningless because death was in the cards. So the important part is that materialistic accumulation and acquirement does not bring fulfillment. It doesn't bring satisfaction. It doesn't bring delight to the heart. All it does is it causes a person to be filled with endless anxiety. And what is this anxiety? Why do we have anxiety if we are materialistic? Because no sooner do we have or achieve the goal that we set our mind to, the pleasure is gone now. Now I have to get something else. Okay, now I want that. Oh, let's just say I want that car. Or let's just say I want that higher position in in this particular firm. So I don't have it now. I have to work for it. Maybe I'll get it. Maybe I won't get it. Maybe this guy who's working on my left side or my right side, maybe he'll get it. So I'm in anxiety. I may get it and feel like a lord, or I may not get it and feel like I'm lesser than a lord. And my feeling of my good feeling is based upon whether I rise or fall. And this is most unfortunate. And people go to the extent, if they feel like they're nothing, they're zero, they begin to identify themselves with something that they can prop themselves up with. For example, you become an L.A. Laker fan. Or you become a Dodger, L.A. Dodger fan. So when the Lakers, they win, like they're in the playoffs now, when they win, you win. And you feel great. Oh, those Lakers, they were fantastic. You feel like you're just ready to hand out $10 bills to everybody in the world because you feel so good. And then when the Lakers lose, how could you do this? How could that happen? I lose. I become depressed. I'm crushed. It's not that the Lakers lost. I lost. And if the team completely loses the playoffs and loses for several years in a row, as sometimes one football fan, he was, I think it was the San Diego Chargers or one of those, or the Denver Broncos were losing in the playoffs or whatever they call them, year after year. He decided to move because his favorite team lost. He was losing. So he went to another state where there were winners. I'm serious. It was reported in the newspaper. He went to another state. And unfortunately, he got the same karma. So they call him a loser from the word go. So this is happening in material life. When you depend upon others who you connect with your body instead of you connecting with Krishna, as a result, what happens is that you are miserable. When they rise, when they fall, you fall. When they rise, you rise. What a horrible existence. To place your entire existence on someone else's up or down. Instead of feeling one's own self, one's own soul. And feeling the joy which comes from Krishna consciousness. When we have Krishna consciousness, we have inner joy. We have inner strength. We have inner peace. We have all the qualities that Krishna has become our qualities in minute degree. For one who has unflinching faith in both the Lord and the demigods, all the good qualities of Krishna are automatically or consistently manifest. This is the Bhagavatam. So it's like you touch hot iron, your hand becomes hot. If you touch the pure Lord, well, then the soul becomes denuded, so to speak, of all of its dross, of all its gross accumulation. So we have been given the most wonderful opportunity. We have been given this holy name, and Srila Prabhupada has been so gracious to go through so much difficulty, trial, tribulation, pressures, problems, offensive devotees, to bring us this holy name of the Lord, to bring us this incredibly great philosophy. So we have a very great debt to Prabhupada. And that debt is unlimited. We can never give enough to serve him. And whatever we give is nothing compared to what he has given. So we should never pat ourselves on the back and think, yes, I'm really doing a lot of work and wonderful work for Srila Prabhupada. Actually, we are in debt forever. And if we are in debt forever, then we haven't even paid off a fraction of the debt. And once we realize this, then any praises, any glorifications, any pats on the back are considered as insignificant. We accept them graciously and we give them to Prabhupada, our inspiration. We give them to Krishna, our inspiration. You're the one who has caused them to come out of me. And therefore I give all the credit, I give the praise, I give the glory to you. Because what can I do without your mercy? So, as one devotee so beautifully said, I am made of your mercy. I am made of your mercy. So when a devotee feels that he is made of the mercy of the Supreme Lord, then everything he does, he attributes to the greatness or the glory of the Lord and his spiritual master. So the holy name can render all benediction to living beings. Lord Chaitanya says, and thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In these transcendental names, you've invested all your transcendental energies. There are not even hard and fast rules for chanting these names. My Lord, out of kindness, you enable us to easily approach you by your holy name. But I am so, so unfortunate because I have no attraction for them. I don't have any attraction. Please, the devotee must pray. Please help me to become attracted. I don't love you, Lord. I want to love you, but I don't love you. If I did, I'd be attracted to your name. I'd be attracted to you in the deity form, in the pastime form. But I don't feel any love in my heart. There's no bubble there. It's dry. It's empty. Please, please inject me with your transcendental juices so that I can love you, so that I can serve you, so that I can surrender to you, so that I can submit to you, so that I can never stop thinking of you. Because if I stop thinking of you, that is the cardinal sin. To think of Krishna constantly if we can, or even if we can't up front, at least in the background, is that which is the most highly desired by the devotee. So this is our goal. This is what we have to strive for. We have to aspire for. And if we don't aspire for it, we just think it's going to happen. Well, it may happen after a long, long time. But everything goes by desire. Of course, we should desire, but we should also not just desire, but we should also deserve. So those two go on, work together. We work hard for Krishna. We serve Krishna. We thank Krishna continuously for giving us the opportunity, for giving us the wonderful associations of so many devotees who are like-minded. And by so doing, we continue to progress. Therefore, the heart then begins crying out, please, Krishna, help me to have an attraction. And when we begin to feel that attraction, and Krishna does respond, We should be thanking Krishna. We should be throwing ourselves on the ground and saying, thank you for giving me a little smidgen, just a little fraction, a particle of love for you. Please, like an ember, fan it, raise it, make it go higher so that I can truly offer my whole self, or from all my talents, all my abilities, all my strengths, everything that you have given me, 100% to you, without desiring anything for myself. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Are there any, thank you, are there any questions or any comments that any of us would like to make? Please? No? No? Do you have a comment? No? Oh, scratching your ear. Okay. That's okay. Yes, Prabhu.
I was wondering.
Nice and loud because I'm a little. Good.
I was wondering that maybe one of the reasons why people think that they're never going to die is because the eternal nature of the spirit soul.
Yeah, I mentioned that at the early part of the talk. That the soul confuses itself with the body. So the soul does know it's supposed to be eternal, but now it's trying to eternalize its body and thinking in that term that, yeah, my body will never die. But on reflection, it knows it does, but it doesn't like to think that because, as it says, the soul is eternal. So, and it's always a shock to hear that somebody's died because that's the reality of material life. We don't want to think of that reality. Thank you. Any other questions? No? Okay, I've held you long enough. Have a wonderful prasadam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai.